Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. For you that don't know, on Wednesday night, I try to give a message that you can use both on the natural and the spiritual side. And if you want a title for what I'm going to talk about tonight, it's called Don't Get Distracted. You know, as you listen to the news, you find many things that are causing people to lose their focus. They get distracted, things that distract our attention in one area gets our attention off of some areas that we need to keep our attention on. Things that keep us from, distractions keep us from fulfilling our destinies in the natural as well as the spiritual. You know, there's one thing that I say in the midst of all that's happening right now in our world: stay on track with the things of God and with your natural life. If God protected those children of Israel on that trip from Egypt to the Canaan land, He can sure take care of us. Okay? I tell people all the time, don't get in fear. We've not been given, Paul told Timothy, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. If you've been in the military, I have, the one thing they drill in your head at when you're going through the boot camp and all is never panic, never get in fear. If you do, you can't make a rational decision, get yourself killed and somebody else killed. You got to keep your head clear. I don't care what happens. I don't care what the devil throws at you. You got to keep a clear head and don't get distracted. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:13, I'm going to read the NLT. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what is ahead. In this scripture, Paul is saying that he is staying focused on what God had called him to do. But now, you got to realize, when he wrote this, he was in prison. When he wrote to the Philippians, and he said, he's in prison, but he said, I'm focusing on this one thing, forgetting everything's behind. I'm looking forward to what is in front of me. You know, he could have used his circumstances and what was going on in his life as an excuse to bail out, quit. You know, in the midst of his situation in prison, he stayed focused on doing what he felt he was called to do. He couldn't go preach anywhere, so he started writing. Come on, think about that for a minute. He was accomplishing something even though they had shut him down. Now, there is a book called Pilgrim's Progress that everybody used to read. I don't know whether anybody reads it anymore, but how many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Excuse me. If you haven't, you might want to read it. It was written by John Bunyan during the time he was in jail, actually, for preaching the gospel there in England. He was in jail, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. It's been translated into over 200 languages, and hundreds and thousands of them have been sold. It possibly has influenced many, many Christians in their walk. Excuse me. He, like Paul, he couldn't go out and preach anymore. So he didn't let that distract him from still accomplishing something for God. He wrote the book. Now let's look And what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13, 1 Timothy 4:13, I'm going to again read from the NLT. He is talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. Until I get there, focus on reading the scripture to the church, encourage the believers, and teaching them. He's telling Timothy to stay focused. Now, when he wrote this to Timothy, Timothy had been placed as the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and that church had a lot of problems. There was a lot of distractions that could keep him from accomplishing the job that he needed to accomplish as the pastor. You know, there actually, if you study, you'll find out there was a lot of false teachers in that church. There was those that were calling themselves prophets that were causing problems. There were those that were trying to pull people from following Jesus back into Judaism. There was all kinds of things going on in that church. And it was a large church. Probably one of the first mega churches. The people all talking about mega churches, they need to go back and check on some of these churches that Paul established. Now, here, in both scriptures that I have read to you, the word focus is there. You truly will never reach your potential in the natural or the spiritual unless you keep yourself focused on your purpose, on the spiritual side and the natural side. Many young people start out with great dreams, but through life, they get distracted. You know, I felt the call to the ministry all the way back when I was about 11 years old. I didn't want anything to do with the ministry because I grew up in the ministry. But you know what? At 17, I made the decision to go, or 16, I made the decision to go in the ministry at youth camp. And I've had many, many, many distractions and opportunities to go a different direction. But I kept my focus on what I felt like God wanted me to do. When Dad said, we're going to start a Bible school, and he looked at me and said, you went to Bible school, I didn't, you do it. My family can tell you of my wife, of many, many distractions that's tried to keep us from establishing. I'm talking about myself because I know you don't want me to talk about you. I kept my focus on what we were supposed to do. Even in my natural life, I did that. You see, many people lose their focus on what they're supposed to do, and they end up just marking time, not really accomplishing a whole lot. You know, in the contemporary English version, King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, everything on earth has its own time and its own season. Many people have a dream, but they get out of season because they try to make it happen instead of letting God unfold it and make it happen. Hello? I'll use my own self as an example. I'm preaching in 1980 in St. Louis, Missouri. It's in a little book back there, How to Make the Dream God Give You Come True. And I said, we're going to have Ramas all over the world. Well, I went and tried to make it happen, and it was a bust. But now we have 282, 284, I don't know how many campuses. It changes every day around the world. But you see, I knew what was supposed to happen, but I got distracted on the fact, okay, I said we're going to do it, so let's go after it, rather than staying focused and waiting on God. Come on now, y'all here, y'all gone home already. I'm going to borrow Brother Bill's phrase. I'm speaking a whole lot better than your amen is. If God created everything in the world, according to what Ecclesiastes says, animals, plants, solar system, all had specific purposes, how much more has he designed for his human being, or man, meaning mankind, everybody, how much more do we have specific things to accomplish in our lives? You can't do everything. I can't do everything. But if we stay focused on what God and where God has us, even in the natural, you may not realize it, but God is directing you naturally. You see, I haven't realized it, and I didn't realize it until a lot later. Many of the things that I did early on that I didn't understand, they helped me to build Rhema. I'm associate pastor with my father-in-law in Garland, Texas at Southside Assembly, and I'm building Sunday school annexes, I'm pouring concrete, I'm doing all sorts of things, okay? Some of my buddies that I went to Bible school with, they're associate pastors at different churches, and they said, well, hey, you do manual labor, I said, well, I'm preaching every Sunday night. Well, that's all right, but you working manually, you're not in the office like I got an office. Ain't none of those guys in the ministry today. What I didn't realize is that was 67 to 72. What I didn't realize is that in 76, we would start Rhema with two buildings over there on the corner over there, the one there and half of the building behind it, which is RMA. And now we have 110 acres and is it 20 buildings, I think they said? Blake, is it 20 buildings? Okay. That's my grandson over here. He's in charge of the grounds, and he knows what's over here. And you know what? I've had to build all of them but that one on the corner and half of the one behind it, I built it. All the rest of them, I had to be involved in building. If I hadn't learned something about building and about pouring concrete and about carpet and about a whole lot of other things back there when I was 26, 27, 28, 29 years old, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish what I've accomplished. And I hadn't done anything. It's all God anyway. But there is a natural side. So what I want people to realize, there is a natural side and a spiritual side in everything that you're doing. And it's easy to get distracted. In fact, when I was there, I had some churches that wanted me to come and try out for a pastor, be the pastor. I didn't. Staying focused is necessary if you're going to accomplish anything. I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians 9:24, NLT. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now, the old original Living Bible, I'm going to try to go from, not the new NLT, but the Living, original Living. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. Now, Paul is referring to the ancient Grecian games, which we know today as the Olympics. That's how far it goes back. Go study it. They chose to do only what would help them to win. There were specific rules. There were specific things. When I was running track in high school, I realized that if you're going to win, you got to be in great shape and you got to have endurance. I ran in the state track meet in Oregon in 1957. I went to Canyonville Bible Academy in 56, 57. It was a boarding school, and mostly preacher's kids there, but you know, coach would dismiss everybody. They'd go to the locker room. I would stay out there, and I would run five more 220s, 220 yards. For you kids that don't know anything about it, the Bible said, let him as ignorant be ignorant still. So, but we used to run 220 yards, not 200 meters. We ran 100 yards and not 100 meters. Isn't it funny how that we've changed everything to meters, but the football field is still 100 yards? Come on now. And all of the baseball stadiums, they're all still by feet. How many? 250 feet down this line, 275 feet down this line, 400 feet to center field. But back then, I ran the 220 yard, and the 880 relay, which was four of us running 220 yards. I would stay out, and I would run. I'd run a 220, sprint a 220, I'd walk a 220, run another one, you know, five, six, however how many I could get in at for a while there. I said, man, it's going to be crowded in the locker room anyway. I'm just going to let some of them guys get out of the way, and then I'll go in there. But I tell you what, in the state meet, when I came coming that last 20 yards coming down to hand that baton off, I started to see these spots in front of my eyes, and I just gritted my teeth and kept flying. But because I could move pretty good. Even in my 40s, I'm playing intramural ball out here, and I asked that boy in that white shirt over there, he tried to catch me, and he couldn't do it. Could you, Billy? You thought you could. But you could do it now, I guarantee you. 83 years makes a big difference. But what I'm trying to say is, I realize that if I'm going to win, I've got to put the extra effort in. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you might not like, but on the job, if you want to get promoted, you got to put the extra effort in. I'll leave it be and walk on. You see, sometimes people get distracted and get involved. They get involved over here, and they're over here. They're trying to do too many things. You know, we all can see things. And the enemy can bring things to us. Even in the natural, you can see things. Man, it'd be nice to do that. It might be nice, but is it expedient for you to start exploring that and take your energies away from what you're doing now? Come on now. You know, in business, there are many things the company could get involved with. But have you ever noticed the companies that make it, they stay with their major product. They may branch out a little bit, but you look at all of these, look at Nike, Adidas, all of these, they've got some clothing brands, but you go study it, you'll find out their foundation, their product that makes the finances for them is their shoes. Come on now. Don't look at me. Don't look at me like that. Yeah, they have this other stuff. But if you get right down to the bottom line, it's the shoe line. And they stay with that, and they push that more than anything. You can see them on TV. I've never seen them on TV advertising any other apparel. All I've ever seen them advertise is their shoes. Huh? Anybody? Come on now. Because you see, that's where their bread and butter is. You know, E.W. Kenyon in his little book, Signposts on the Road to Success, and if you've never read E.W. Kenyon's book, Signposts on the Road to Success, I suggest you go in that bookstore. I guess they still have it. They used to. And you get it and you read it. How many of you read Signposts on the Road to Success? Keep your hands up. If you would suggest that other people read that book, wave your hand. It's just short little chapters. But man, it has some tremendous stuff in there. And he said this, E.W. Kenyon in Signposts on Road to Success on page 22. There must be an objective, and when you find that objective, set your compass and all sails for that star. S-A-I-L, sails, in other words, set your compass and your sails. Set your course. You know, I went to my first dirt track race when I was 15. I've driven street stocks out there at the old Tulsa Speedway. It's not there anymore. Cameron, my oldest grandson, he still drives race cars. And I'll tell you what, he has to stay focused on what he's doing. I have seen him many times. There sits his dad right there, Craig. I've seen him many times. We're over here talking and everything. He goes over and sits down on the tire of that sprint car, and he's sitting there just concentrating, not talking to anybody. He is getting his focus, or you might call it mindset, to go out there and drive that race car. Driving a race car is a whole lot different than driving a normal car. Because you don't have any rear, in the ones I drove and the ones he drives, you don't have any rear, he drives sprint cars. You don't have any rear view mirrors. You have to be concentrated and focused on what's going on around you and be aware and listen to hear if there's somebody over here or hear an engine if over here on each side. I noticed that after I would drive in a race that I would be a whole lot more better on the highway because I was concentrating more on what was around me rather than what, depending on my mirrors. I'm talking about focus. You've got to stay focused on where you're at and where in the natural and the spiritual. Now, some of you students, I'm talking to you. You got to stay because you're going to find out in just a couple of weeks, there are going to be all kinds of things that come in that will try to distract you from getting and doing what you feel like you should be doing. Let me hurry up because I got 10 minutes. For you that don't know, this is called Our Power, 7 to 8 every Wednesday night. When I was way back in Bible school, when I was, 18, 19 years old, I told some guys, I said, if I ever have a Wednesday night service, and then I was an evangelist for all those until 85 when I started this church. I said, if I ever have a church on Wednesday night, I said, I grew up in the church, and I'm going to have what they call Hour of Power. I told the guys that back in 1959. And that's what we do. We have an Hour of Power around here. Now, in Proverbs 4:25, it says, NLT, look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. The Message Bible says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all the sideshow distractions. Watch your step. The road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left and leave evil in the dust. You know, one race I was in, I took my focus off of the finish line and lost by 1/100th of a second. That's, we ran the 220. I'm up here on this corner, and I had drawn the outside lane that day. I'd rather would have run inside, but I had drawn that outside lane. And for you guys that run track, you understand what I'm talking about. The others, I don't know how to explain it to you. But anyway, that starter says, take your blocks, get set, and then he fires the gun. And you try to roll out of those blocks. How many of you run track, sprinters especially? How many of you know what I'm talking about when you're trying to roll out right on that gun? Well, it was one of those days I hit it. Man, I mean, I know I hit it. I knew I hit it. We come off the curb and coming down the front straight in front of stands. And normally you could hear the people beside of you because you can hear them. And your cardinal rule, and when as a sprinter, I don't know about these distance runners because I didn't run distance. I wasn't no good at that. I'm a sprinter. You keep your eyes on the finish line and staying in your lane. That's another subject. A lot of people get out of their lane in the natural and get in trouble, and spiritually too. And so I'm concentrating on that, and I don't hear anybody. It was an 8-lane track in Eugene, Oregon. I actually was running at the university there. 1957. Well, my mind begins to tell me, you're out here running all by yourself because there's nobody else running. You don't hear anybody else running. You false started. He fired twice, but you didn't hear, because if you false start back then, I don't know what they do now. They'd fire the gun and again and let you know it's a false start. And I just kept going, but finally it got so bad, I just sort of still a little glance over here, and all the way down in the first lane was another guy, and he was just, I mean, he was just barely a bit behind me. But that one glance sideways, I was in front until I glanced sideways, and he beat me by 1/100th of a second, because I took my focus off of what I was supposed to be focused on. Because the enemy started saying, hey, you know, my mind, you're out here. You're looking like a fool. You're running out here by yourself. Now, the enemy will do that with you in your Christian walk. He will do that in your natural walk, because his motive is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to, not just in the spiritual side, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you in the natural. And he'll bring things that way. Many distractions in the world today. The news media, you know, others' opinions and their comments and what they say to you. You know, somebody offends you. Don't ever let any offense bother you. I don't. I got a book back there I wrote, How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. I learned it from my dad. He didn't, nothing bothered him. You know, there's many, many things. Your own thoughts can hinder you and get you distracted. John Mason, in his book, An Enemy Called Average, one of the tricks of the devil is to get us to say yes to many things. Then we end up being spread so thin that we are mediocre in everything and excellent in nothing. there comes a time in every person's life when he must learn to say no to many good ideas and become focused, and becoming focused is the key result. You know, being double-minded can get you distracted. Procrastination is another thing that distracts people. Always watching to see what others are doing, even though it's not your job. Always reacting to a situation instead of staying focused on your mission. You know, my dad used to say about, I heard him say it about some ministers. He told me this. He said, there's too many people trying to be a jack of all trades and master of none. Dad always told me, he said, son, if it's worth doing, do it right or don't do it at all. And that's the way I am. If I preach, I give it everything I got. If I play ball, I give it everything I got. And I played in the intramural system over in here until I was 64. I played my last basketball game at 64, and I still got 13 points and 5 rebounds, and I was probably 25 years older than anybody on the court. But I learned to do that. Whatever I'm doing, I concentrate on that because that's what I'm doing. You can't play ball concentrating on something else. You can't minister concentrating on something else. You can't do your job concentrating on, oh, I wish I had a better job. Well, keep working at that job until there is a better job. Come on, I'm anybody getting anything out of this? Anybody understand what I'm trying to tell you? Let me finish this up because I got 2 minutes. In Acts 26:19, Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he says, so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that heavenly vision. He was one of the greatest missionaries that the church has ever known, the Apostle Paul, and he finished his course. He said at the end, I've run the race, I've finished my course. He didn't let anything distract him. Go read in Corinthians and read all of the things that he went through that would have distracted most of us. Rick Renner, in his book, If You Were God, Would You Choose You? The events Paul encountered would have shattered a normal man. But because he used his faith and kept his focus on the prize before him, Paul was able to override the system and supersede each aggressive act that Satan engaged against him. We must learn to stay focused and accomplish what our God-given purpose is in the middle of every distraction and temptation. The choice is yours. You make a choice not to let distractions tempt you. You make a choice in the middle of every imperfect and difficult circumstance. You make a choice not to get distracted. We must daily remind ourselves to stay focused on the Word of God in the spiritual area, and to stay focused on what we're doing in the natural so that we can accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. Everybody stand, please. If we're going to stay focused and do what God wants us to do, we have to get our eyes off of any distraction and anything that would rise up that would keep us from accomplishing both naturally and spiritually. Say this, don't get distracted. Heavenly Father, I tried to minister to the people tonight, give them a few thoughts and a few ideas to help them both spiritually and naturally. I thank you, Father, that you will minister to every heart in the place today. I realize that everything that I said was not needed by everybody, but something I said was needed by everybody. And may that one point be indelibly stamped into their minds and their hearts. If there's some here that need to change, help them to be able to change and get their focus back on where it needs to be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you're a first-time guest with us, we're glad to have you. Our connection team is coming there. They're going to take you to get a special gift that we got for you right out there in the lobby. We got Sunday morning right here, 9:30 School of the Bible. That's like a Sunday school. And 10 o'clock morning worship right here. And I'm going to continue what I've been talking about, you know, discovering Jesus or learning, knowing Jesus. I'll be continuing that. I did two sessions. I'll be continuing that. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you know you've gone off course, you got distracted, and you need to rededicate your life. Or if you're here and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I care less about that. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If you would like that. If you would like prayer for anything, the ladies are here. The men are over here. Come down here and they'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday right here. If you need prayer, salvation, rededication, the Holy Spirit, or any reason you want somebody to pray with you about something, get down here right now and they'll pray. Our prayer team will pray with you in Jesus' name. God bless. Amen.